Today on the Profitable Tradie podcast, 97% of people aren't doing this. Ever look at your bank account after a big week of jobs and think there should be some good profits coming, but when the end of the month rolls around, you're left wondering what happened to all the money?
Most business owners don't know which jobs are actually truly profitable and which ones are just keeping the team busy.
When you actually drill down on this stuff, all of a sudden magic happens in the business. You actually figure out what's not working. Tune into this episode where we dig into why it's not how many jobs you do, what you charge for them that counts. It's what happens inside each job that makes the difference. Because if you're not tracking the performance of each individual job in detail, you'll be bleeding cash.
We hear people say, I couldn't possibly check all jobs, I'm too busy. We'll just step back and think about how silly that statement is.
Busy doesn't pay the bills, profitable does, and the difference really is. Alrighty, welcome to the podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones here with my good mate, Phil Smith.
G'day, mate.
We don't want to be bleeding cash.
We don't want to be bleeding cash. Definitely not.
No. We want to keep the cash.
Well, that's what we're talking about today.
Let's get into it. What are we talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, not bleeding cash. So basically, you could be busy with lots of jobs and projects and your jobs are looking good on paper, but the problem is the cash just isn't showing up in your account. And you think you're charging enough, but labor blowouts, missed materials, sloppy tracking, you know, they're silently draining those margins. And you have a feeling that a couple of your unorganized clients aren't as profitable as they should be, but you carry on because they're giving you lots of jobs. And most business owners don't know which jobs are actually truly profitable and which ones are just keeping the team busy. So it's not about how big the job is, it's about how much gross profit that you're actually making from the job. And unless you're digging into the details, you're flying blind.
You are, and it's you don't want to fly blind with your business. And I think of golf often with this. We say that you drive for show and you putt for dough. And being busy and having good jobs and big revenue is driving for show. But the profitability and how much money you make is, you know, that's the putting for dough, and that's where you want to be. So we're going to really dig into the discipline of actually tracking each individual job. And that's where the magic happens, when you actually get into the individual jobs and understands what's happening and actually how to track them the right way, how to spot the profit leaks, and to focus on the work that actually makes you money. I think the thing is, when you really know this stuff and really dig into these numbers, your business really starts to pay you back and it turns around. And the thing is, it's actually not rocket science to do it. And when you do understand the profitability of jobs, then you'll start making decisions about, you know, what's good and what's not. Otherwise, you are just guessing. And guessing is, you know, hope's not a strategy for making money. Math is the strategy you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Math doesn't lie. So I'm sure you have a story to kick us off.
I do have a story. So it's a bit of a sad story. It's about the Challenger space shuttle. In the 80s, you know, NASA was using the space shuttle program. And in 86, Challenger exploded. It was only 73 seconds just after the launch. I remember actually, I was pretty young at the time. I think I was like, I'm not going to say how old I was. But
yeah, you're only, what, 60 or something?
No, relatively young. But I remember that. I think they had a teacher on board. And the whole world was watching this teacher. But anyway, it was very, very sad. And obviously all the astronauts, they perished. And the cause of the accident was an O-ring, and it's, you know, a $1.50 O-ring that failed. And it failed under really cold conditions. The Challenger sat on the pad in really cold conditions that morning, and it leaked. And so it allowed gas to escape, which eventually caused an explosion because it was too brittle. And the reason that happened is because it wasn't tested properly. It wasn't, you know, didn't track the production and test it under all the conditions that it needed. It was really a lack of attention to details was the issue that caused the problem. It was a very small, you know, $1.50 O-ring with massive consequences. And I guess the lesson here for NASA is that they focus so much on the big stuff, they ignore the details. And that can happen in your business as well. We need to get down to the nitty-gritty details of what's happening on each job every time, because without doing that, you know, you might think you're making money, but you're not. And the devil is really in the detail. We don't want your business to blow up, you know, because you're not getting into the detail. And that is what happens to businesses, unfortunately.
Yeah, 100%. So I think a lot of learnings we can take from that, particularly when it comes to costing. So, you know, if we're not doing this, we're not paying attention to the details in our job costing, we can run into some big problems.
We do. I think you do lose money and you don't even realize you're doing that often until it's too late. And this is one that really is frustrating. You keep making the same mistakes. You keep doing unprofitable work over and over and over again. And you don't know. That's the problem. You're just not aware. You're busy. You think it's good, but it's not. You also keep making the same pricing mistakes over and over again, because if you're not getting feedback from the jobs you've done and checking out how they ran, you're just going to keep pricing the same way. And that can destroy your margins right from the get-go. I mean, it's very hard to make profit if there's not profit in the job when you actually price it And so that's important. I think you also your team, there's no accountability on them. You know, they think the job went fine. Maybe you're not aware of where they're coming up short or where their improvements need to be, and tracking it will do that. And the consequence of all of that is that you feel busy, stressed, overwhelmed, and you're definitely not rich. And you can't reach the goals that you have for yourself and your family, because profitability is absolutely essential for a great business. It allows you to obviously generate cash, then you can buy your time back by investing in team and plant equipment, and it just makes everything easier. So a lot goes wrong if you don't get this right.
Yeah, 100%. But on the flip side, you know, if we are in those details and we're doing this religiously and, you know, noticing everything and actually taking action, we have some pretty big opportunities.
Yeah, well, you understand where the money's going. So you can see where the leaks in the business are and you can fix it. It buzzes me out when we work with members of the Million Dollar Tradie Program and they come in. And honestly, I would say 97% of people aren't doing this.
Yeah, when they start, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's something we put in place pretty smartly.
Right from the get-go. But when you actually drill down on this stuff, all of a sudden magic happens in the business. You actually figure out what's not working and you change it. That it's as simple as that. So some of the things you change, you might change the type of work you're doing because you actually figure out what makes profit. You start tracking your gross profit per hour, so you make more from your time. You're not just looking for, you know, the big jobs, you're looking for the jobs that actually make money. Your team gets focused, they're actually focused on hitting targets, not just, you know, getting things done and seeing how they go. And you're really working smarter, not harder, which is the key thing. You know, you work on the stuff that makes you money. And in the end, you've got this engine room of profitability because you've built a system to look at how the jobs are going. That allows you to generate profit, allows you to grow a business. That's the like the fuel for the time, money, and freedom that you want from your business. But you've just got to have a profitable business to make that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's really the goal. And after all, we are called Profitable Tradie. It's what we're all about. So, hey, where do we start with this, mate? Like, where should we kick off?
It's pretty simple stuff, but it's just not always easy to do. And I think my encouragement today is just get on and do this. And it starts from just tracking the performance of every single job you do. And I mean every single job. And I mean all of the time. And there's some, I know there'll be some questions about that, and we'll dig into that, you know, how you're going to do that. But you make money by doing jobs. That's why our businesses are set up. You make money off the projects, big projects, small projects, whatever. It's a service business. It's like the factory of our business, the jobs. And so we need to make sure that they make money. And so what do? Well, you track the hours, how many hours it took to do the job. And you know how much the hours cost you, so you can figure out the cost. You track the materials that you used on the job. You track any subcontractors that you may have had to use. Or maybe any equipment that you had to hire for that specific job. Are there variations or changes in the project, in the scope, as you go along? So you keep a track of all of that so you know how much this job actually cost you to do. And you're going to know what your invoice is, you know, what your revenue is. That's relative.
What you charged.
Yeah, what you charge. It's relatively easy to figure out. But the other stuff is, what does it actually cost? And don't worry about overheads. I know you're probably thinking, well, how do I factor in the rent and the accountant and the marketing and the admin person and all that sort of stuff? Leave that to the side at the moment. We're actually just worried about how much money we make from doing the job. You can do this on paper. If you sometimes it's a good idea to do it on paper at the start. Obviously, you can't do every job on paper, but just to get a feel for it. But you need to get a software system, and you have a system that actually does all these jobs. And it does require, for example, to have a time card. You know, your team have to record how many hours they spend on each job so you can track it. And if you're not, some people aren't doing that. If you aren't doing that, that's a starting point. You just absolutely have to do that. Otherwise, you can never really have a profitable business because you just don't know what's going on.
Well, if you're not doing that, it's pretty hard to price your job in the first instance, right? Because what are you even pricing for? You have no idea. So you definitely got to be tracking that. And yeah, I mean, on paper is good a couple of times just to get a feel for what the maths is actually doing. But after that, like, absolutely have a system, because the key's doing it all. And I think that's really the next point, right? Is you might be listening to this thinking, well, that's going to take a lot of work. You know, I've got to cost every single job. I've got to, you know, figure out my margins on every single job. And that is a lot of work, but you got to understand that that's the right kind of work. So, you know, we hear people say, I couldn't possibly check all jobs, I'm too busy. Well, just step back and think about how silly that statement is. It's like playing any kind of sport, but you're not keeping score. I mean, what's the point? And, you know, ultimately, you know, profitability is the main scoreboard for your business. So You've really got to do this work and figure out where you're at, or otherwise, how do you know where you're winning? One thing that we see a lot of is that we get people come on board, and like you said, probably 97% of people when they start off, they're not doing this. They're not actually costing out their jobs, figuring out where the profitability's at, looking at any trends, anything like that. But then they start, and it makes some really good inroads. You know, like they figure out what needs to change, where they need to improve, where they need to, you know, put their pricing up, where they need to get the team more efficient, what works good or bad. And then it works so well that they stop doing it. You know, like it's kind of that age old thing. It's like, I did this. It was so good that I just don't do it anymore. But, you know, then they wonder why they get things like cash flow issues, or their profitability takes a dive, or they start working with difficult clients again. And really, it's just, this is a habit that you need to create. It's not a one and done. Like you don't just cost a few jobs. You cost every job forever. And, you know, we may have some people that say, well, you know, I do this. And I'm like, well, do you do it with every job? Oh, no, just every now and then, spot check. It's like, no, this has to happen with every job. And then you need to take the results of all of this and trend it by work type, trend it by client. You need to look at the patterns, those reoccurring, you know, trends that you can see, so that then you can actually make, you know, data-driven decisions around where pricing needs to go up, where efficiency needs to improve, which clients are good, which work type is good, and vice versa, what teams are performing better than others. You know, it really tells you everything you need to know about how your jobs are going. But you need to be looking at every job and then the trends within those work types and clients and things. So it is a lot of work, but it's the right type of work.
Like you said, there's really no point having a business if you don't do it, because you don't know how your business is tracking. And the numbers here are quite staggering. You know, majority of people who we start working with, they might start costing their jobs and figure out their margins of maybe 20-25%. Gross margin. They start doing this and all of a sudden they get their margins to 35-40%, like 10-15% improvement. Oh, that's actually more than that as a percentage, but you know, that's where they're heading. And if you think about it like this, if you make $1 million in revenue and if you just got a 1% improvement in your margins, you've made an extra $10,000.
Let alone a 10% improvement.
A 10% would be $100,000, which is what we see often.
Yeah.
Like it's quite normal when this happens. So there is so much power in this. And you think about, you know, how much you can do with an extra $100,000 in your business. It's even better if you've got $5 million, obviously, revenue. You're going to make a whole lot more money. It's just because your levers are bigger. So that's the power of this. It is a numbers game. And those small incremental shifts that you make across all the jobs all of the time add up to a massive, massive amount of money, which should be in your pocket.
Yeah.
And it will be if you go and get it.
Yeah, absolutely. So where do we start with back costing and getting into these details?
Obviously, costing the jobs is helpful, but what really makes this magic is when you have a budget or a target to aim for. And so, you know, when you're actually pricing work, you have a target that you set for the particular types of jobs. And that will actually lift your margins as well. And so that might be, hey, more service and maintenance work needs to be a high margin, lots of smaller jobs. Maybe we're aiming for 55-60%. Gross margin, maybe a bit higher for some work. We might think, hey, we do a lot of project work. Maybe we're a plumbing company and we work with building companies to do new builds or renovations. Look, we're aiming for 35-38% there. And so when you're pricing work, that's the target you set. Maybe if you're doing larger commercial jobs, much bigger jobs, it'll be a lower margin typically. Maybe it's 30%. And so you have something to aim for. That's very powerful. And so people can compare what they're hitting when they've costed to where they needed to be. And that stretch really helps you improve the profitability of the business.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what we can do is we can use that costing, because we have those benchmarks and those budgets, we can use that to make pricing decisions. So, you know, basically pricing is a feedback loop. So what you're looking at is you've got an estimate, or maybe it's a quote or a bid, you know, about what this job's going to cost you. And then you're going to add a markup or a margin, hopefully a margin if you've been listening to our stuff. You're going to add that margin and that'll give you your price. And then what you're going to do is, after you complete the job, you're going to be comparing what actually happened in terms of cost to what you assumed would happen in your estimate or your quote or your bid. And then that's going to compare the margin that you made. Is it what I intended to make, or is it more, or is it less? And that'll tell me, you know, where did I go wrong, or where did I go really right? So did my estimates work out? You know, was I too optimistic in some places? You know, where did I undercook the estimating, which is mainly going to be with labor. Like, hopefully when you're estimating, or, you know, you're putting together your quotes and your bids, hopefully you're pretty accurate with materials. If you're way off with materials, either maybe it's a really unfamiliar work type and you need to learn from this, or maybe there was variations, in which case you need to charge for them. But generally the materials should be about right. Your big risk is really with labour. You know, did we take too long? Did we have a blowout in terms of the labour required on the job? But what you're able to do is that it gives you that feedback loop that you can learn from. So this is again why it's important to be doing every job and looking at the trends, because if you blow out on one job, unfortunately what you get is you're going to go back to your team and you ask them what happened, and what are they going to have? Well, they'll have excuses. And the hard part is that a lot of the time those excuses actually are pretty fair. You know, like, hey, we got to site, we couldn't get in, the house wasn't open, we couldn't get in the house, had to wait for the owner to come back, so yeah, we wasted a bunch of time waiting for them. Or hey, we got to site, materials were supposed to be delivered, but unfortunately, like, not all the materials had been delivered, so we had to go back to the merchant and pick up some more stuff, and it wasted some time. Like, all of these sound like, you know, fair enough things, but when you look at the trends, the reality is, if on this type of work, you know, 3 out of every 5 jobs blow out in labor, well, it really doesn't matter why. The fact is that, because there might be a different reason every time, but the trend is we're probably going to blow out on this type of work, which means you've got to price for more labor time. You just have to. Or you need to get drastically more efficient. But honestly, it's way harder. And if it's just going to blow out for all different kinds of reasons, you need to build more fat into that job. Or otherwise, how are you going to make up for the things that inevitably are going to happen? And so basically, when you're doing this, you're doing your job costing, you're getting that feedback loop, which is telling you what's likely to happen, where you're likely to come up short, where you're likely to actually be able to make more money. You know, maybe we can be really efficient on this type of job. We always come in under budget. Which means it's like, sweet, this is great work because people accept our price. They're happy to pay that price, but we can actually get this done really efficiently and make an even better margin than we thought. It's like, awesome. So try to do more of that work. Maybe your marketing leans more that way. But that feedback loop helps you to make really, really good decisions around your pricing and what type of work you want to do moving forward, which is knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. And margin problems most often aren't pricing problems. They're tracking and measurement problems.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're talking about there, is that when you track that stuff, you'll adjust your pricing accordingly. So that's incredibly powerful. And people often estimate out of their own head, well, that would take me this long to do, but they don't realize that they are the A1 tradesperson in their business, and they need to price for the average tradesperson. There's a whole bunch of stuff there, and it helps you figure that out.
Yeah, you might be able to do this job in 10 hours, but you know, your team are not you, man. Yeah. So it might take them 12 hours, and as a result, you got to price for 12 hours, because unless you're going to go out and do every job, you got to price for what your team's capable of doing, not what you're capable of doing. Yeah. And most of the time, you will be better than them. That's why you own the business, right?
So, 100%.
You know, it just is what it is.
Haven't said 100% for a while.
Well, we should say it more often. 100%. We should say that.
So, yeah, the devil is in the details. You've got to get into the nitty-gritty of what this actually costs. And you got to get kind of down and dirty with it. You've got to wrestle with this stuff, and you'll figure out what's going on. And one of the things you'll figure out is that where your systems and your processes are falling down. And so you can see where the mistakes are made. I can think of a client worked with a few years ago, and they, I might have told this story before, but they did a lot of work with a group home builder, volume home builder, about $1 million worth, maybe a bit more, $1.5 million worth of revenue. And this business had a lot of cash flow problems. They had debt to the tax department, all of that sort of stuff. And they didn't understand the profitability at all. And so they started to measure the profitability on these particular jobs, and they figured out that their gross margin was 20 to 22% on these jobs.
Yeah, ouch.
Not good. So not making money. They dug into that and they were like, flipping heck, it's taking us like 18, 20, 22 trips to the job site to finish these houses, which are, you know, they're not super complicated. They're not high-end architectural homes. They're pretty standard, you know, homes that should be built with a lot less hassle, you know, a lot less trips. And so they figured out that their handover process with the building contractor was not very good. To tighten that up, they figured out that they needed a better quality assurance process so that they didn't miss stuff, you know, just simple things like forgetting to check the, you know, the faucets and check the toilet and the flush and all that sort of stuff, and not checking it and it's not working, they have to come. There's a whole bunch of little things that were just continually happening. And their material ordering process was not good either. It was very haphazard, so there was a lot of wastage there. And so they worked on their systems, quality assurance processes, handover processes, material ordering process. They also got a small margin price increase from the builder as well. And they got those jobs to 32, 33, sometimes 35%. That's the power of costing your jobs. You figure out what's not working so you can change it. Because we're all pretty smart. If we have the information, the problem in front of us, we'll actually figure out a solution.
Yeah.
So that's one of the incredibly powerful consequences of doing this job costing accurately and consistently.
Well, if you look at, you know, just some maths around that, and again, bear with me here on the numbers, but a lot of trades businesses are going to have an overhead, you know, percentage of their revenue, which is going to sit somewhere between 18 to 28% of their revenue. Now, if you think about this business that was doing, you know, 20, 22%, it's like even when you're at the really low end of your OPEX scale, which means you're probably a little bit understructured and things are really flat out, at best they're making 2 to 4% net profit, which is, you know, not much. And if they actually have enough infrastructure to make their business easier, they could be closer to that 28%, in which case they're actually losing 4% net profit on every single job. You know, imagine that. Whereas on the other hand, getting up to that 35% in terms of GP, you know, it means that they can sit anywhere within their infrastructure scale. They can take on overheads, they can grow, they can actually free up their time, and they'll always be making profit. So it's really the difference that, you know, those system improvements were really the difference between this person going backwards in a hurry or having a real business. So it's not to be taken lightly here. This is very, very important.
It is.
And more importantly, like another thing that this tells you is it really tells you what jobs are even worth doing. So another thing that we find is you might have a similar situation where you're working for a particular client, for example, or maybe in a particular work type. And when you start looking at the trends around the back costing, you notice that we're actually just frighteningly low in terms of profitability with that client, or frighteningly low when we do this type of job. You know, maybe our commercial projects are just absolutely terrible, but all of our service work is absolutely brilliant. And every time we go to a commercial project, we just demolish all of the profit we made from our service work, that kind of thing. So what you're able to figure out really is what jobs are even worth doing. And then you can, you know, push all of your marketing and all of your sales effort towards ramping up the work that's profitable. And you can, you know, really just let go of the stuff that's dragging it down. Because again, a lot of the time when we have clients come on board with our $1 million tradie program, what we actually find in this process is that some of their work is incredibly profitable and really, really good and great clientele. And the rest of their work is absolutely destroying the profit they made with the good stuff. So it's not like you have an even keel in the middle somewhere. It's usually that you've got some really awesome stuff, some really terrible stuff, and it's working out just below middle. And so figuring out what the losers are means you can kick them and then you can move on. It's just an instant win. Or what you can do, and the best way to kick them, is you can just put your margin right up on those jobs. Hey, if you win them, suddenly they become winners. And if you lose them, well, you wanted to get rid of them anyway. So you're not risking anything to actually play with the pricing on those jobs. So it's really important. And to do that, what you need to be able to do is to compare those jobs apples for apples. Because at the end of the day, when we look at percentages, like you said earlier, you are going to get higher percentages on smaller jobs. Like if you're going around and, you know, just changing out a faucet, or you're putting in a power outlet or something like that, or, you know, just honestly flicking some fuses back on somebody's switchboard, you know, things like that, like they're going to have to be higher margin. They have to be, because the price point of the job is low. And so the thing is on the other hand, when you're doing a big commercial project or something like that, so you're going to get a lower margin, but you know, the price point on the job's a lot higher. And where things really get confusing is with the materials component of the job, because if you're selling a lot of materials in the job, then you're going to struggle to get really high margins on the materials, you know, especially if they're large commodity items like air conditioning units, hot water units, things like that, you know, solar panels. These are like big commodity items that really drive up the value of the job, because it's an expensive piece of materials, but you're not going to be able to put 40% margin on something like that. You'd price yourself out. But the thing is that you didn't have to construct a toilet or a vanity. You just had to install it. You didn't build the solar panels. You just screw them to the roof. So the thing is, it doesn't take a long time to clip ticket on something that didn't cost you, you know, didn't cost you anything in terms of time. So really what we look at here is that if you're comparing job profitability, if you're just looking at percentages, if you're just looking at dollars, you can't really compare, because it depends what the percentage was. If you're just looking at percentages, again, hard to compare, because it depends a percentage of what. So we work it out into profitability in terms of gross profit in dollars per hour that was spent on the job. And, you know, we've got a bunch of calculations for that. And how this works is it really gives you an apples for apples comparison of what work is more profitable than others. For example, even if you're working in solar, let's say that you are in a company where you sell the panels and you sell the inverters, and, you know, you're actually selling all of the equipment as part of the job. You might find that you have a 30% margin on your work, and then somebody else might be doing installs only. So they're working through a sales company which sells all of the panels, inverters, all that kind of stuff, sells the job, and then you just come in and do the installation. It's labor-only work. Now, in order to get the same GP dollars per hour, they're probably going to have a 65% GP on their work as labor-only, because they're having to clip ticket on only the hours spent by the tradesman, whereas in the same amount of time spent by the company which is selling the panels as well, they're clipping ticket on the same hours, but also all of those expensive materials. And so they can make a lower percentage on those hours because they're clipping ticket on the materials as well. And so they can end up actually with a higher GP dollars per hour. Now, when we work all of this out, what we end up with is that we end up with an apples for apples comparison of work types. And you know, if you're doing stuff like, might not even be labor only versus, you know, selling expensive materials, it might be that, hey, you're a plumbing company, and when you're doing just general work, for example, replacing a faucet or, you know, fixing a leak, this is going to have really high GP in terms of percentage, because there's not a lot of materials. Whereas on the other hand, if I'm installing a hot water unit, then this is a really big expensive piece of material, so I can have a lower percentage GP. It'll probably still come out at a higher GP dollars per hour, but I get a really good apples for apples comparison, which helps me know which work is actually performing, which work is not, which teams are performing, which teams are not, and which jobs are performing, which jobs are not, which clients are good, which clients are not, and then we can ramp up the good stuff and we can cut down the losers. So it just gives you all the power to know what to do with your profitability.
Yeah, it's magic. And busy doesn't pay the bills, profitable does. And the difference really is your job costing. So it's incredibly powerful. And when you have this information, you can actually work with your team on it as well. This is really magic when you get into this. So you actually share these numbers with the team. You know, you show them the results of these jobs, and you show them where things have gone well or they haven't gone well, and you show them the targets and the budgets as well, and you get the team involved, and that actually helps them feel like they're winning, like the team actually want to start hitting those numbers, because that's like some positive affirmation and feedback for them that they're doing a great job. So you bring them into the loop, let them know the budget, also let them know where things haven't gone well, and that, you know, often they'll have good suggestions as well. Like if your team's growing and you've got, you know, more than a couple of people in your team, maybe you've got 5 or 10 or 15 or 20, whatever it is, they're the people actually doing the stuff, and they're going to have a lot of information that'll help you actually improve the margins. They're the ones who are seeing the holdups with materials. They're the ones who are seeing that the, you know, the building contract or the general contract is disorganized and is mucking you around. You're probably not going to see that as you get bigger. So you really want them on board with this, and that's a real bit of juice to drive the profitability. But you've got to know the numbers. You know, got to know the details on every job. You can share that with them, and that will really help some of the magic happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with this as well, just make sure you're using your software properly. So as we mentioned earlier, you can do this on paper, but it's just going to take so much longer. It's hard to get the trends. Like if you're using a good field management software, a job management software, what you're able to do is that it can pull these kinds of reports immediately, just instant. You can change what you want to look at, get all kinds of different reports, and it's all instant. And so then the next question that comes from that is people say, oh, what's the best software, you know? And I always say the best system is the one you actually use. So it's pretty much all of the different field software will do this. They'll do back costing. They'll break it into GP and dollars per hour. All of this stuff happens within the software. And it pulls automatically from all of, you know, the pricing and the invoices that you've created. So there's very, very little work that you have to do, which helps you to focus on what you do with the data, rather than actually crunching the data. So this is, which is really where the juice is. So use the software properly. Make sure that you actually do this religiously. Put everything in, you know, accurately in when you're pricing your work and you're doing your invoices, because then it'll give you accurate reporting afterwards in terms of your back costing and your trends. Again, with any kind of software, it's, you know, quality in, quality out, rubbish in, rubbish out. So make sure you're accurate with all of your information.
And that your team is accurate. So you've got to hit your team to actually fill in their time cards, their job cards, because that's the key piece of information. And so that means they fill them in, you know, in the field, when the job's finished, out on site. Yeah, they don't do it at night or on Friday or whatever. They do it, you know, lickety-split when it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think the key with this is if you're not using a software for this already, just get one. You can always change later if it didn't work out for you, but hey, look, the thing is just get software, because they all do this, and you know, again, knowledge is power. You need to be able to get that knowledge, and this is just going to make it so much easier for you. So get a good job management software.
Yeah, massive systems and processes are the key. They, you know, they support you to do this. And look, I get, you know, you've got a bigger business, you've got more people in your business, or you're growing, and it is at some stage it's going to get difficult for you to do all of this, to measure all of this, but you don't have to. This is a task that can be delegated to people in your team. You know, maybe your admin person can help you do this. Maybe your operations manager will be a key part of this. That's really their job, is to ensure that the profitability of all the jobs is good. So that would be a task and accountability that sits with them. And here's the thing. I know you might be thinking, oh, well, I don't want to hire those people. I can't afford them. Like, that's more overhead. I can guarantee you 100%. If you hire people and you make it someone's role to get this done, and if it means that having that person means that this does get done all the time, you'll make more money out of doing this than you invest in actually hiring that person. And we have seen it so many times when, you know, someone's thinking, well, I've got, you know, maybe 5 or 6 people out in the field, and they're trying to manage everything, and they're trying to grow, and they know they need an operations person to run the team, and they're like, how can I afford to do that? And they put them in, and that person actually focuses on this because the owner hasn't been able to because they've been too busy, and all of a sudden the margins jump 5-6%, and you've paid for the operations person straight away. It's that powerful. So you've got to have the resources to get it done. If you can't get it done, it's a non-negotiable. You can't get your margin right if you don't have those people.
You don't get your margin right, you'll never afford the people. So that's right. It's really that simple.
Overall, I guess the thing is, you can improve what you measure, and just becoming aware of these actuals, you actually start doing the stuff that actually improves the profitability. It's that simple, but that powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, should we land this plane?
Let's do it. So if you don't know your numbers, you cannot control your profits and cash flow. And the profit on each individual job is how you make money in a tradie or contracting business. So it's time to stop guessing. It's time to start measuring on every single job. That is where the money is. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later. Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
Now, I've always been intrigued about how some businesses grow smoothly and consistently while others stay stuck in chaos, constantly fighting fires, unable to take holidays or vacations, and seeing the business owner become overwhelmed and burnt out. In this episode, I sit down with systems expert and author David Jennings. David is the author of Systemology and a powerful new book titled Systems Champion that shows how to simplify processes, empower your team, and create a business that runs without your constant oversight. Now, in this episode, David shares how to overcome bottlenecks that hold most businesses back, and how trades and contracting businesses can build systems and the structure they need to profitably grow and give the business owner their freedom.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.